Last time I was here, I said that Simon had given me a passage of scripture that was rather like a hospital pass. There are so many questions that come out of it. This time he's given me a treasure chest of diamonds. So I'm glad that he's given me Genesis. Now, last week I believe... Oh, thank you. People can see me now. Last week you had the story of Abraham, who God later called Abraham, and he went down to Egypt. But before then, in chapter 12 and verse 8, it says, "From there he went towards the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then he set out and continued towards the Negev." And you heard the story of how there was a drought, and Abraham went down into Egypt, and there he forgot about trusting in God. He thought to himself, "People are going to look and see my wife, and she's only 65. And she's very beautiful." Remind you, 65 is a cringe about 35 nowadays, but... She's very young, very beautiful. People are going to want to take her. They want to kill me. I can understand that. I'm walking on the road with Barbara. I keep looking around. Other young men want to try and kill me and marry my wife. You know, I understand that. But he was worried. He forgot his trust in God. He did wrong. And by the grace of God, he got out there alive. But when he got out alive, it's very interesting. So if we turn... You've got your service sheet. You can read Genesis chapter 13 to see what happens next, verses 1 to 4. "So Abraham went up from Egypt to Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abraham had become very wealthy in livestock and silver and gold. From Negev he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier, and where he had first built an altar. There Abraham called on the name of the Lord." Abraham realized he had done wrong. He had white lied, at least, about his wife, who was his half-sister. He had not trusted in God. He knew that he had done wrong. But here, at the start of chapter 13, he traces his step back to the place he last was when he called upon the name of the Lord. We can use the expression, "Abraham is going home," or "coming home," one of the two. He had decided that he needed to go back to retrace his steps to the place he last was with God, and there to again call upon the name of the Lord. One of those diamonds is where he pitched the tent. Bethel, do you know what that means? Means house of God. And Ai means the ruins. It was pitched between God's side and the ruined side. And before he had failed because he had not trusted God, and he's gone back to try and sort himself out with God so he could move forward with God. He had made a mistake. Now, I don't know about you, but I am always making mistakes. I'm always doing things which are not right. And sometimes that means that the relationship between me and God is spoiled. What do we do with that? And sometimes people say to me, I no longer hear from God. I used to hear from God, but God seems to be very quiet in the moment. I can't hear him speaking to me. And some people say, well, I can't feel God's presence with me anymore. What can I do? How can I go about feeling the presence of God again? My response is this. When was the last time you heard from God? Don't hear from God. When was the last time you heard from God? What did he say to you? Did it tell you to do something? You haven't done it? How can I expect God to speak to me if he tells me something and I don't do it? When I was a kid, my parents sometimes, or maybe often, said, "It's no good speaking to you, you don't listen." I don't know if any parents use that expression nowadays, or you've heard that yourself. "It's no good speaking to you, you don't listen." And with our God, with our Lord, sometimes when we're not hearing from God, it's because he has said something to us, and we've actually known God has spoken to us, and yet we haven't done what he said. Or we've made a promise to God. I think when Abraham first built that altar, before he went into Egypt, he was determined he was going to follow God. He called upon God. He was his God. He wanted to worship him. He wanted to give his life for him. He wanted to serve him. Yet he made a mistake. He made a promise as such that he would be with God all the time. And often, we break our promise to God again. I got to a stage in my life once where I thought, I dare not make any more promises to God because every promise I make to God, I break. So how can I expect the presence of God with me if I say I'm going to do one thing and then do something else? If we do find ourselves in that position, then I think we need to do as Abraham did. We need to go back to the last place where we believe God spoke to us. Don't mean physically, a building, but think about what God said to you last. Go back to that last promise you made to him. Have you kept it? Have you not? If God has told you to do something, have you done it or not? Like Abraham, to start afresh. Well, that's what I believe Abraham did. He went back deliberately to the same place and bowed down before God and recommitted his life to God. He renewed his faith in God and everything was great. Well, that is accept. When we do that, when we realise we've done wrong and we go back to God and apologise to him, we say we want to be stronger this time round. We won't do it again. We trust we won't do it again. Or this time we will obey you, what you tell us to do. Then God is always going to test our resolve to see if we really do trust him, to see if our faith needs strengthening, to see if we really are determined to overcome those failures. And before too long, Abraham had a test to see if he was more concerned about himself, as he was in Egypt, than about his family and friends. So here it is, chapter 13 and verse 5. Now Lot was moving about with Abram, had many flocks and herds and tents. But the land could not support them while they stayed together, for the possessions were so great they were not able to stay together. And quarrelling arose between Abram's herds and Lot's. The Canaanites and Perizzites were living in the land at that time. So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarrel between you and me, or between your herds and mine, for we are close relatives. It's not the whole land before you. Let us part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." So Abram had this opportunity of making a decision. Was he going to put himself first or others first? Was he going to continue to be selfish or was he going to look out after others? They both had big herds of sheep and cattle. They both had people there that needed to be fed and watered, but the terrain did not cater for them. It was a rocky place, a hilly place, a place of little water and grass. And the tension broke out between, as it were, the two camps, between Abraham's people and Lot's people. Now, Abraham had every right to make the first choice. He was, after all, the leader. He was the elder statesman. He was the uncle. He had more men as well. He could have forced himself and forced Lot to take what he didn't want. But he gave Lot the first choice. He would take what Lot left. If Lot went to the east, he would go to the west, and such like. So what did Lot do? Well, here is from the page on verse 10. Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan towards Soar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the citiesof the plain land and pitched his tent near Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. Way back in the 1970s, before some of you were born, there used to be a poster we had at home. And on the poster was four fields, four green fields. And each field contained one cow. And between the fields were wire fences. And in each of the four pictures, each cow had its head through the fence, was eating the grass in the other field. The grass is always greener the other side of the fence, isn't it? And Lot looked, and he saw that the grass was greener down there by towards the Jordan. And did you notice that comparison the Bible spells out for us? He looked, and it was like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. Lot had been to Egypt. He'd seen the richness and the beauty. He'd seen the grass. He'd seen all the things that influenced him. And now when it's his time to choose, he chooses that. And did you notice the spiral he started to go down? For in verse 10, he looked towards Sodom. In verse 12, he pitched his tent near Sodom. And in chapter 14 and verse 12, we find he actually lived inside that wicked city. He was on a downward spiral. In part of the reading, we've got Ezekiel 16 here. Now, this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. They were haughty and did detestable things before me. Therefore, I did away with them, as you have seen. The city of Sodom was not just what we imagine the sexual sins of it. There was so much wrong with that city. Yet Lot chose to look towards it, move towards it, eventually move inside it. Rather like Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is one who does not walk in the step of the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. There is a downward progression if you're not careful. Now the New Testament tells us that in 2 Peter 2 that Lot was a righteous man, and yet by doing this, he was in danger of being so much more in the world and also part of it. He had a great decision to make about his life. And the writer Peter tells us eventually he got so fed up with the state of Sodom, he was pleased when God took him out of there. Lot chose, and Abraham took the world left. But in the meantime, Abraham listens and hears from God. Here it is in verse 14. The Lord said to Abraham after Lot had parted from him, look around from where you are, to the north, to the south, to the east and west. All the land that you see I will give you and to your offspring brother. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can count the dust, they can count your offspring. Go walk for the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. Abraham had lost Lot. His heir had gone. But God promised Abraham much more. He promised him all the land he could see, including that Jordan Valley that God had chosen. He promised that all his descendants would be without number, not just one man, Lot, and his two daughters, who had no sons. And furthermore, he said, he, God, would be with him all the way through. Abraham had given Lot the first choice. He had not thought of himself, and God had honoured that decision. Rather than being like when he went to Egypt and just thinking of himself, he was thinking of others. And when we think of others, God honours us. Instead of being the God who doesn't seem to listen, he is the one who speaks to us. Instead of being the one who appears far removed from us, he is the one who walks the land with us. Our God is so good and so generous. Abraham had passed the test. He put others first. You know what? There were more tests for him to go through. It wasn't like, okay, Abraham, you did it wrong the first time, and you don't write the second time, you're okay now. But if you read chapter 14 when you get home, you see that Abraham had two more tests to go through, even in a short space of time, about whether he was going to put himself first or others first. He had to decide whether he was going to go and try and rescue Lot, who had been captured, and put himself at risk of being killed to rescue his nephew. He had to decide how to do that, and God blessed him. He had to decide later on about which of the offerings he's going to receive from the kings around him. The king of Salem. You know what Salem means? You know what Salem means? Peace. Thank you. So Melchizedek was the king of the city of peace. But having to accept his offering or that of the king of Sodom, who offered so much more. Abraham learnt by experience that he needed to trust God and trust God and trust God. Our Christian faith is not an easy one. We're not called to receive all the goodies and all the easy way of life. God will always be watching, listening, trying to lead us more into deeper faith. Are we trusting God for a particular thing? God will test us to see if we can do that. Are we wanting to serve God in a particular way? God will put things there to prove that we are really determined to serve him in that way. And if you're like me, as I said before, you're going to fail. You're going to fall over. You're going to make mistakes. But like Abraham, we can go back to God and we can start again. I believe that my God has given me so many starts in life. It's incredible. I believe that our God would rather us fall down 100 times each day and pick ourselves up 100 times each day than fall over once and not pick ourselves up once. I believe our God is there to help us, that when we do things wrong, he's there to forgive and to start again. We learn, our faith grows stronger. And there's just a hint in that first reading that others are watching to see what we did. Don't you notice that we talked about other people being in the area when they looked. They were watching Abraham. What's he going to do? What's he going to do? People are watching us. Say you believe in God. What are you going to do? If we fall down, let's apologize. Let's get back to God. Let's go back to the last time we committed ourselves to God. Let's start afresh. Again and again. If you're like me, again and again and again. Our God is bigger than that. Let's pray. Just a moment of silence. Maybe you felt that you let God down. promised inside which you haven't kept. Or trying to live a particular way and you've found you've not been able to do that. And speak to God about it. Ask His forgiveness and receive it.